Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. The word of God upon which we meditate this Mother's Day is taken from the Proverbs chapter 31, verses 28 through 30. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who respected and loved his mother, fellow redeemed in his blood. Anna Jarvis. I wonder if any of you recognizes the name. I would guess that most of you don't know that the modern holiday known as Mother's Day was first celebrated in the year 1908 when Anna Jarvis held a memorial for her own mother at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia. She said that a mother is the person who has done more for you than anyone in the world. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed the proclamation that designated Mother's Day as a national holiday to honor mothers on the second Sunday in May. Now, I bet you didn't know that the same Anna Jarvis was later resentful of Mother's Day. She believed that companies like Hallmark Cards exploited the idea of Mother's Day for profit. She organized boycotts of Mother's Day, and she threatened lawsuits. She argued that people should honor their mothers with handwritten notes, not by purchasing gifts and pre-made cards. When American war mothers began the tradition of selling carnations on Mother's Day to raise money, the woman who lobbied for Mother's Day was angry and ultimately came to be arrested for disturbing the peace. Nevertheless, today is Mother's Day. In much of our world, the only requirement for praise is that you be a mother. Whether good or bad, lawful or lawless, godly or ungodly, today, every mother is celebrated simply for being a mother. Just like Father's Day, Siblings Day, and Grandparents Day. Now, I'm not suggesting that we stop recognizing, loving, and respecting our wives and mothers. We owe them love and respect. After all, the fourth commandment is plain. Honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you and you may live long in the earth. Our mothers should hold a special place in our hearts. However, when we look at the ideal mother described in Holy Scripture, we find that the glass slipper doesn't fit every mother. The Holy Spirit doesn't hold up every mother as worthy of admiration and emulation, but praises in particular the mother who fears, who respects the Lord. This morning we meditate upon the final verses of the book of Proverbs. These words are part of a Hebrew poem describing a wife of noble character. In Proverbs 18, verse 22, Solomon declared, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Here in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31, the Spirit of God elaborates on that theme, describing not just any wife or mother, but the kind that is to be praised, the kind who fear the Lord. In other words, we're taught to thank God for godly mothers. We begin with prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you shake the earth, you quake the mountains, the stars fight for you, and the rivers sweep away your foes. But my heart does not tremble before you. I am at times ruled by careless attitudes and filled with pride. Help me in my pride to tremble before you and to humble myself at your greatness. Impress on my heart the seriousness of your anger over sin. Help me to see what is at stake in every temptation to sin and in everything that would distract me from praising your glory. Fill me with respect, awe, and childlike fear that, trusting in Christ, I may give all glory to you. Amen. When young people get old enough to start looking for a spouse, very often the first thing that they look at is the outer appearance. It's not a surprise, really. We want someone who is attractive. We want someone who knows how to have fun. Sadly, godly character and faithfulness isn't very high on the list. How do I know? Well, I was once a young person too, believe it or not, and I'm not that out of touch. In stark contrast to what our world values, this biblical poem declares that godly character in a wife isn't just a good thing, it is priceless. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. A godly wife and mother is described as trustworthy, a woman in whom her husband and her family have complete confidence. She is dedicated and supportive of her husband and family all the days of her life. While her first concern is the Lord, a close second is her husband and family. She is industrious and keeps her family warm and clothed. And so a godly wife's real beauty is not to be found in what she wears or how she looks. In the scriptures, the Lord declares that true beauty is not the outer facade. Lasting beauty is found within, in qualities like strength, honor, joy, wisdom, kindness, and industriousness. It's said of the godly wife and mother, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Admittedly, these qualities are not what most people think of when they think of beauty. It's the supermodels and the Hollywood starlets. But the Holy Spirit here reminds us that that kind of beauty is temporary, even fleeting. So it is written, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. Charm, the batting of the eyes and the furtive glance, is a deception, often. Beauty is literally like a breath. Compared to one's breath on a cold day, we exhale and it dissipates. But it isn't just here in Proverbs. The real qualities of a godly wife and mother are described elsewhere in Scripture. The Apostle Peter, who was a married man, was also moved by the Holy Spirit to write about the qualities of a godly woman. In 1 Peter 3, he wrote in a similar way to Proverbs. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. It's no wonder then that it is said of the godly woman, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Now, I realize that parts of our society, growing parts of our society, look down on the type of woman that's described here in Proverbs. They don't value the qualities described in these verses. Frankly, today, the godly wife and mother is pictured as locked away in the home in chains. She's pitied because she misses out on all that life has to offer, because she stays home and raises her children. It's sad that our society mocks and undervalues a godly wife and mother, because it's part of the reason that our society is crumbling from within. On the other hand, it is a thing of beauty to see children raised by a conscientious, believing mother. Doesn't always go perfectly, nothing ever does this side of heaven, but it makes the heart glad to see the next generation taught and led by a thoughtful and loving mother according to the scriptures. It's no wonder, as they grow older and see their peers raised according to different values, that they return to love her more and more. They return love and respect. So, have you taken time to thank your mother, to thank her for having brought you to Jesus? Have you thanked her for the hours of help with schoolwork, for the countless rides to school, for the countless meals and other care? Have you returned to tell her that you appreciate all the things that she's done for you? Don't just thank her for the mundane things, but above all, for her good example, for her spiritual support. Thank her for helping to raise you in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But don't do it because I say so, or because the mother is the person who's done more for you than anyone in the world. If you are a godly mother, then you know that the reason the godly mother does these things is out of love for her children, to glorify God, to express her faith in Him who bought her and who entrusted her with children, a generation to raise. Let it never be with us a matter of personal pride, but let us glorify God for godly mothers. Or maybe, just maybe, you don't think that your mother is worthy of praise. Maybe you think that she didn't measure up to this high ideal. Maybe you think now, in your exalted position as an adult, that she could have done things better. Maybe you place her among the runners-up in the first part of verse 29. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. It's true that God gives gifts and abilities to every human being, to every wife and mother. Still, the Lord here, and this is the word of the Lord, not that of some male chauvinist, declares that the godly wife and mother excels or rises above them all. But honestly, how many mothers fall in line with this godly picture? For that matter, how many fathers would rate highly according to God's word as a godly father and husband? How many children are obedient and always honor their parents and superiors? God's law is clear. We fall far short. In the end, thankfully, Anna Jarvis was wrong. I understand the sentiment she expressed when she said that your mother is the person who has done more for you than anyone else in the whole world. Truly, much of what a godly mother does goes unrecognized and unpraised by the world. Much of what she does happens behind the scenes. And yet I ask myself, where would I be without a godly mother? What would I do without a godly wife? I don't want to think about being without either. That said, there is one person who has done far more for you than your mother. He perfectly measured up to every command of God as your substitute. He was perfectly obedient to every commandment of God, and always from a heart of love. The life that he lived without sin is credited to you by faith. He set a perfect example, even on the day that he died on the cross, for one of his greatest concerns was someone else, someone reliable, to take care of his mother. It's true that some wives and mothers give up careers and accomplishments in order to raise godly children. They make sacrifices. They work long hours. They give up sleep to comfort weeping children. They would even, in some cases, die to protect their children. These sacrifices are worthy of praise if done in faith. We owe them love and respect. But none of these sacrifices delivers from sin. Jesus' sacrifice does. It delivers from sin, from guilt, and from eternal punishment in hell. Jesus laid down his life so that we might dwell with him in the Father's house, eternally, apart from sin, sorrow, crying, and death. We should thank God for godly wives and mothers, not merely because they're ours, but because they are gifts from a gracious heavenly Father. And God help every mother and wife to strive to be a person who stands in awe of the Lord and his word, a person who loves because she knows the love of Jesus herself, a person who seeks to praise her Savior God for being faithful to her. For a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.